Great. Well, I would not want to try to duplicate what I see was a very eloquent and comprehensive statement. So perhaps I'll be a little bit more informal and offer my thoughts. I was not actually an election observer in Ukraine, but we had a number of Freedom House people there. But Freedom House itself actually did not sponsor an international election observer delegation as a Freedom House delegation. Instead, we worked with NDI to support a delegation called NMO, which was actually put on the ground over 1,000 election observers, and we'll talk about that. But I want to mention, back up a little bit, and we've talked a little bit about what the Ukrainian government did before the election in terms of not allowing a fair electoral climate. Certainly Freedom House has talked about the control of the media. Numerous others had talked about what the Ukrainian government had done in terms of deploying state resources over months before that. But I think it's also important to look at what the civil society groups within Ukraine did before the election day itself. And it really was, I think, when we look back and we look at lessons learned, we're going to see the Ukrainians really absorbing the lessons that had been learned in other civic experiences and really taking them to a new level. And I think that's very important to recognize. As somebody who's not a Ukrainian expert, who has started going to Ukraine in the mid-90s, one of the things that I remember everyone said was, you know, Ukrainian civil society is very weak, people are politically apathetic, there's passivity, they're not really willing to challenge their government. And, you know, we look at the events since basically in the last 6 months, and really that shows that Ukrainian civil society is none of those things right now. It's really one of the strongest civil societies right now, and certainly in the CIS. And just to, again, go back to the before the election day, Freedom House and NDI, funded by USAID and State and IRI, had been really focusing on a couple of pre-election efforts that I think were instrumental, and that was mainly voter education and mobilization. And again, the idea was that political apathy was going to be a problem. People weren't going to think that this election was important. And the Ukrainian groups on the ground, I think, used some of the cutting-edge methodologies, like doing focus groups before designing the voter education and mobilization, to be able to hone the messages that would actually appeal to people, regionally target them. And I think that we really need to – these kinds of efforts were used in Slovakia and elsewhere. And, of course, trainers from those countries did come to Ukraine to help provide technical assistance, but the groups themselves were responsible for carrying it out. You know, we focused on, I think – on the youth vote, getting out the youth vote, mobilizing in particular regional areas. And also one of the things that everybody used to say about Ukraine is that there was, you know, the groups couldn't work together. They couldn't work in coalitions. And what we saw leading up to this elections is that there was tremendous amount of collaboration and coordination between groups, that national level groups were able to connect with regional and locally based organizations, and that was tremendously important. You know, in the end, we account among our accomplishments of the project that some 45 Ukrainian NGOs produced and distributed over 100,000 copies of educational materials for voters, directly reached over 25,000 rural voters, and trained over 10,000 members of the election commissions. But now on to the monitoring effort. Of course, there was monitoring by Ukrainian domestic groups, and I don't want that to be overlooked. The Committee for Voters on Ukraine and others deployed over 10,000 domestic monitors, and they have been monitoring the entire pre-election period, campaign financing, media coverage, as well as voter list audits, verification of voter tabulations, and improving the documentation of violations through legal aid. And the domestic monitoring efforts, though, were actually supplemented by what I think is a truly unique regional civic effort. Through NMO, over 1,000 regional civic monitors were put on the ground throughout Ukraine, covering 200 of the 225 territorial electoral districts. And They were involved 18 organizations in 16 countries, some of the most important domestic monitoring organizations throughout the region, from Montenegro, Serbia, Croatia, Slovakia, Poland, Macedonia, and also through from former CIS countries, Kazakhstan, Belarus, Russia, Georgia, Armenia, Azerbaijan, Kyrgyzstan, and Moldova. And these groups had – NMO had existed before, but it was a loose coalition, and it mainly focused on Central and Eastern Europe. And the groups got together with the a series of groups from the former Soviet Union to decide to deploy this. There were two co-heads of the organizations that represented and coordinated along with Freedom House and NDI to prepare all that. It was really a remarkable logistical feat. And if anybody has ever been involved in election observer delegations, to try to come up with a final statement is difficult at best. And if you've ever worked with civic groups anywhere, to get them all to agree on a statement is also a feat. And I think the NMO statement, and perhaps I'm biased, but you know, it's the fun part about being part of the NGO world is that you don't have to be as diplomatic. And I think it's a very hard-hitting statement, and it shows the professionalism of these groups, which I think had a real tremendous impact on the Ukrainians themselves. And certainly we have many stories of Ukrainians going up to observers and saying, thank you for caring, thank you for being here and giving us solidarity. And I just think as one of the lessons, we should be thinking about this kind of cross-border regional support and help, because it really is a powerful force. You know, reflecting on what will happen next, you know, your guess is probably as good as mine. It seems to us that certainly probably a whole full revote of the second round is what really would make the most sense. There are concerns that if you have a partial revote, it will encourage certain areas to feel that they're being singled out, and I think that would not be helpful. Obviously, you need to appoint a new CEC that actually is representative, and you're going to have to, I don't know, it'd be interesting to see how the international community puts together. I mean, the amount of international observers that covered this election was really quite unprecedented. But I think what Ukraine shows, and this I say as somebody that's been involved in democracy and elections monitoring for over 15 years, I think international election observation has sort of gone out of style in a lot of places. You know, it's a waste of money. Domestic monitors can do the trick. You know, election tourism. But I think in the case of Ukraine, it was incredibly important that there were that many delegations covering everything. And it's a tribute to those who, frankly, just 2 months ago or 3 months ago said, perhaps we don't have enough election observers, and marshaled this, and that they were willing to try, in the case of the NMO delegation, to really try a new kind of delegation, the regional civic effort. Obviously, when you look at the elections, to me, I can't imagine that the Ukrainians were as overt as they were. I mean, it's really you tend to see much more subtle stealing of elections now around the world. But apparently the civic groups have done a better job of learning from one another in Ukraine than the government has, because I'm sure there's some countries in Africa and governments in Africa that could share some good stories about how you don't have to stuff ballot boxes and have people voting more than 100% turnout, et cetera. You can use state resources, other things in a much more subtle way. But the other thing is the issue of Russia, and I know that we've already talked a little bit about it. I would say let's not write off Russia. Russia obviously overplayed its hand, and it backfired greatly, and perhaps that's one of the best things that could have happened, and we need to engage the Russian government to allow them to gracefully save face and hopefully to allow a real democratic outcome in Ukraine. So with that, I'll open it up for questions and comments.
Thank you.